will people remember us? Another way to ask this same question is, and I'm not at all trying to depress anyone, but it's some things we have to think about. How will we be remembered once we are gone? Once we leave this physical world, this earth, how will we be remembered? You know, we don't think about that a lot today, but the truth is, how we treat people, what we do in our life, you know, how we think, because a lot of times our thoughts turn into our actions. How we think, what we believe, what we do, the decisions we make, our everyday life, that will reflect the decisions that people have on us as we leave, or when we're gone, or when we pass away. And when we think about that, there's a lot that goes into this. So I thought we'd take a look at this today. You know, very few people, when you think about, we watch the news, and unfortunately people die every day. And there's several hundred thousands that die on a daily basis around the world. When we think about this, not many of them are remembered like John F. Kennedy or President Reagan or even the Pope. But when we think about these people that they pass, you know, God says it's appointed for all men once to die, and then the kingdom. So we have to understand this is a real possibility in our lives. So what kind of a mark are we leaving? What kind of a past are we leaving? And it sounds kind of funny to talk about leaving a past when we're in the future, in the present, and going into the future. But it all ties into our Christianity. What people say about us, you know, it means a lot to our family name. You know, and we represent the God family. When we think about this, will people remember us for doing a great job at work? Will they say, oh, this guy, he was a hard-working person. He made a lot of money. Will they say he was a good husband, a good father? Or maybe was she a good mother and a good wife? These are important questions to have answers to. And if we're totally honest with ourselves when we think about this, it's very hard, you know, for some of us to admit that, wow, you know, maybe we wasn't the best person that we could have been. Maybe we didn't leave the very best positive memory that people can look back on our lives and think, wow, you know, they were a good person. Maybe we were selfish. Maybe we never told our children and our spouses that we loved them on a daily basis. Or maybe we worked too many hours at our job and we spent too much time away from our families. You know, there's all kinds of things. We could go on and make a grocery list here of things that we could have done or maybe we are doing. One thing that really comes to the forefront on this grocery list, if you will, is will people, when we're gone, say, wow, you know, they were a gossip, or they weren't very loving, or they held grudges. They didn't get over their grudges very easy. And that's tough. We don't want to be remembered like that, you know. That's not how God wants us to be remembered. That's not how God, how Jesus Christ was remembered. When we think about this, again, I don't want this topic to depress us in any way, because it's a very positive topic. As long as we can take a breath, we have the opportunity to change. It's not over until it's over. And as long as we can take a breath, we have a brand new future. Today, tomorrow, it's all new. It's unwritten. And we have the opportunity to make it right. And that's what God wants us to do. We think about this, you know. The one thing that we definitely don't want to be remembered as is a spiritual actor. A spiritual actor. Now, that's pretty deep. You know, all this other stuff is just physical in the life. We talked about how we, you know, what we do to people, how we treat them, all that's physical. But it leads to the very next step, which is spiritual. We don't want to be a spiritual actor. We don't want somebody to remember us for coming to church on Saturday and being the best that we can be, and then Sunday through Friday living the other life. Too many times, you know, we could probably, in our own minds, think about people that fits this description. And it's a scary thing. We don't want to get to that point. Now, I don't believe anybody here consciously wants to leave this earth, this physical life that we're in, with those kind of memories or those kind of thoughts that people can look back and reflect on. We don't want that. None of us do. Nobody wants to have a bad reputation. When we think about the reputation that we leave, we have to understand one thing, that we are a Christian. We're here, and because of this, we are reflecting God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, let's say it again. We are reflecting God the Father and Jesus Christ in our life. The last thing we want to do is check out of this world and the people remember us by, oh yeah, that person who did represent Jesus Christ, did represent God the Father, well, they weren't a very nice person. They were not very loving. They wouldn't help when help was needed. They wouldn't do things. And again, we have the chance right now and today, this afternoon, tomorrow, the weeks ahead, to change this. Anything can be corrected in our lives. And that's the promise that God the Father has given us. It's the beauty of being a true Christian. We have the opportunity to change. So when we think about this topic, you know, again, it is a very deep topic, but it's a very important topic. We can look back on characters in the Bible, men and women throughout the Bible, and when we take a detailed look at some of their lives, we can see the paths that they've taken. And we can see growth, and some of them we can see falling away. And these are examples that we're to learn from. But the important thing is that we don't quit, that we don't give up, that we learn from these examples. We put them in our lives and we move on. You know, during a life of a Christian, it's a journey. It's a struggle. It's tough. It's not easy. And we are all given difficulties. We all have challenges that we have to face. You know, we could probably all say our life is a roller coaster of emotions. You know, it's ups and downs. There's curves. There's twists. There's roadblocks that come up that will cause us to come to a dead stop. It's at that point in our lives, the next decision we make at that roadblock, at that challenge we're facing, that determines what level of Christian we are. Because until we quit and tell God we're done with it, we're still a Christian. But what level are we? When we hit them roadblocks, the decisions we make, what we do next, defines us as a Christian. So I'd like today to talk about three paths. And there's more than that, but I just want to talk about three of them. Three paths that we can take as a Christian. And a lot of times we take these three paths. Now, these are generalized paths because there's so many paths that we all take. Every day is a new path. But these are generalized paths. And I think as we go through, we'll see that these are generalized. But they cover our Christian life. And here's the beauty of it. No matter what path we're on today, no matter what path we was on yesterday or last week or last month, we are not stuck in that path. We're not stuck. As long as we do not close our minds to God and His truth, we are not stuck. We can keep on moving. We can keep growing. And eventually, if we put our faith and trust in God, He will lead us to the right path. And that's what we need to do. And that's what God desires for all of us, to be on the right path. The Apostle Peter is a man that I've chosen to talk about today because there's a lot we can get from his life. The Apostle Peter, when I mention his name, it'd be interesting if I took a survey of everybody in this room. When I said the Apostle Peter, what you thought? Here's possibly what you may have thought. Apostle Peter was the leader of Christ's chosen disciples. He was. That's true. And that's what we remember him as. The Apostle Peter was a brave man. He stood up and he fought for Christ. That's true, he did. When we think about the last bit of Peter's life, and we'll get to that in our third path, but there's other paths that he took before, and we're going to look at some of them and how it reflects us. But when we think about Peter, he, through the Holy Spirit, through knowing Jesus Christ personally, through his Christian attitude, and that is an attitude, he very unapologetically preached. Now, I say that because that means he was bold with his preaching. He didn't say, well, I don't want to offend anybody, but Jesus Christ is this. It was, hey, listen, Jesus Christ is this. This is what he taught. This is what we believe. This is what we need to do. And that's how Peter taught. Straightforward. He was bold. He said, this is the way it is. And basically, he said, if you don't like it, well, there's really only two choices. We either do what Christ says or we don't. He was straightforward. He told it the way it was. So when we think about how Peter was remembered, how we remember him, there's a whole bucket list of titles we can give Peter, and they all fit, because he was a man that followed God. He was a man that promoted God, promoted Christ and his way of life. When we think about the memory that he left, it was such a powerful impact of a memory on the people that, again, we still today are talking about it, and our kids, their kids, they will keep talking about Peter. He left a positive impact. Notice I said he left a positive impact. It wasn't always positive, but he finished, as Paul said, he finished the course. He kept the faith. Peter did too. Peter didn't quit. When it finally came down to it, Peter stood up to the challenges. That's what we have to do, brethren. We have to stand up to the challenges. And thinking about Peter's life, again, there's three paths I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to base them off of Peter's life. The first path is his denial, and that's found in Matthew 26. The second path is his dedication. That's found in John 21. Then the third path is his decision, and that's found in Acts 2. These paths eventually led to where God wanted Peter to go. They led to Peter being a man of God, a man that followed God, that supported God, that backed him up, and stood strong with him. But like Peter, you know, what if he would have quit at any of these paths that he was on? What if the challenges that he faced in life were so strong that he said, I give up. I can't do this. Then I would ask you the same question. When you think of the Apostle Peter, what do you think of? Well, I guarantee you we would have had a whole different opinion of Peter. But that wasn't the case. He stood strong. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 26. We'll start here in Matthew chapter 26. And this is Peter's denial. This is the first path that I want to talk about that Peter was on. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But Peter denied it before them all. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Verse 71. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. 72. He denied it again with an oath this time. We see what's happening here. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Now, pay attention to what we see the progression here, the denial. Once we start down that path, it gets worse and worse. Verse 74 here. Then he began to call down curses. He went from an oath, could be I swear or whatever, to now he's calling down curses. He's getting very emphatic about this. He said, he called down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Wow. Think about that. What was Peter thinking at that point? He got on this path. He has spent all this time with Jesus Christ, arm in arm. It came down to the wire. Peter denied Christ. They caught him. Peter denied Christ again, and he got emphatic about it. He denied him again. And then a rooster crowed. Verse 75. Then Peter remembered the words. Wow, here he goes. Then Peter remembered the words that Christ has spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter realized what just happened here. He realized this path he went down, it was a very serious path. He was facing a hurdle. He was up against a roadblock. That's a tough place to be. He realized it. He said he went outside. It didn't say he was sorry. It didn't say he cried. It says he wept bitterly. He was remorseful. He knew what had happened. This first path that Peter chose, this path of denial, think about Peter's for just a minute, his makeup. You know, Peter here, he sees what's going on. He witnessed the beating of Jesus Christ. He saw what he had to go through. He saw the crowd, how the crowd, you know, it's like when a dog gets in a fight and then two or three dogs jump in and then they just all jump in. They all want to get a part of this. Peter witnessed this. And quite frankly, Peter got scared. Peter was frightened for his life. Peter doesn't want the people here, the same group that tore Jesus Christ apart, figuratively. They don't want him, or Peter doesn't want him to know, or them to know that he was associated with Jesus. For the last 3 years, Peter walked with Jesus. He taught. He learned from Jesus. He's thinking, what if they find out? What will they do? Will they kill me too? Peter's denial of Christ here is a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing. It's a life-changing event, depending on how he reacts. It's a serious path that Peter has chosen to walk down. And now he's up against a hurdle. The next move that he does is going to determine the outcome of Peter's life as a Christian. Brethren, these are the situations that we put ourselves in, or we get ourselves into. Sometimes we care more about what people think about us than what's actually right. If we get in a situation and somebody questions our Christianity, they question our beliefs. Oh, you go to that crazy church that meets on Saturday. Yeah, well, I think that's wrong. What do you think? Well, that's the hurdle. It's been put in front of us. What do we do? Well, back to the story here. Remembering that during Christ's ministry, Peter, of all people, Peter was always first. He was first to speak up. And we're not going to look at all the examples, but there's examples through the Bible. Peter was first to speak up. He stood up for Christ. When Christ walked on water, who was the one that came out of the boat? Matthew 14 tells us that Peter came out of the boat. He walked on water. Peter was a disciple that was brave and bold and strong enough to take that step out of the boat onto the seas. When Christ asked the disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 13, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Peter jumped up. He was the first one to speak up and say, you, Christ, are the Son of the living God. He confessed that Jesus was who he was. Time and time again, Peter stood up for Christ. When we think about the example of the Last Supper and the Passover, when Christ had to prove the example of washing the disciples' feet, and he went to Peter, what did Peter say? Peter said, no, I'm not worthy. You cannot wash my feet. And then Christ explained to him the significance of it, and he was okay with it then. which was a good choice. But the point here is, Peter was a man that followed God. Peter was dedicated to Jesus Christ. Peter was dedicated to this way of life. Brother, I like to think that all of us are dedicated to this way of life. And I like to think that we will stand up for our beliefs. That we will stand up to promote Jesus Christ and God the Father. What about when that hurdle gets thrown in front of us? What about when the guillotine's about to fall and our head's on the chopping block? What about it? What if Peter, after denying Christ, as we read here, what if he would have said, "Well, I did all this. I promoted Christ. I promoted God the Father. I believe this. I believe this. But I denied Christ at the hour that I needed to be with Him. I'm going to quit and go home." What if he would have took that path? What if he would have decided that this path that I've been on, you know, it was 3 years, it was a good run. I went with God the Father, I went with Jesus Christ, I believed, I taught. But you know, Christ is dead now. He's not with us anymore. I think I'm going to go home, and I think I'm going to just get on with my life. What if he would have taken that path? Well, if we take that path, that opens up a whole new myriad of paths to go down. And they're all negative. Once we decide that we want nothing else to do with this way of life, once we put God the Father and Jesus Christ out of our life, paths are opened, all right, but they're not the paths we want to go down. Look at this country. This country has taken God out of everything. And they continue to do it more and more. Look at the path this country is on. Unless they bring God back, it's not going to change for the better. When we think about Peter's life, if he would have decided to say, "I'm done. I'm going home. I'm living my life." Think about the thousands of people later on in Peter's life that he had a part in saving, that he had a part in preaching to, that brought him to Christ. Those people would not have had the opportunity. He would not have been able to make a difference in their lives. People would not have been healed. You know, his life would have not been written in Scripture the way it is now. We would not be getting these examples that we need in our lives from Peter's life. All the good that he done would have been undone. Think about that. What are we doing that's good? When we die, how will we be remembered? These are things we have to remember throughout our life. And again, remember that the paths are in front of us, but we have to choose the right path. We have to make it over these hurdles. You know, a lot of people, they're like Peter at this time in their life. You know, in fact, I believe that all of us at one time in our life, we fit in this situation of the path that Peter's on. That we deny Christ and we do it without even knowing it. And that's a pretty serious thing. Any time that we brush off any questions, serious questions asked to us about God and His way of life, when we brush it off without giving it serious thought, without giving it its due diligence, then we're denying Christ. And that's a much simpler format than what Peter went through. Peter just flat out said, "No, I don't know the man." We are saying to ourselves, "Well, I don't want to get into discussion with this person because I don't know what they really believe, so I'm going to just blow it off." That happened. That's happened in our lives. I'm sure every one of us can recall a time maybe we've done that. And that's all right because that's in our past. That's not today. Today's a new day. We can start today and we move forward from here. We cross over the hurdle. We move on. When we think about this situation that Peter's in, he's got a choice to make. Again, he can quit and he can go home, he can live his life, or he can move forward. As we know, he does move forward. He does move forward. So many people, you know, in this world, they say they're Christians, but the problem is they only, you know, maybe come to church when it's convenient for them. And that's a problem. Again, it's like we said before. Maybe they come to church on the Sabbath, and maybe they come to church on the holy days. Or maybe it's the holy days and not the Sabbath. But then the rest of the week, they live their life. That, in a sense, is saying, I've denied Christ, I'm going home, and I'm going to let what be will be. Well, that opens the door for Satan and his way of life. And that's a much easier way of life. But it's not a way that we want. We're not interested in that way of life. If we end up on the path that we talked about here, this path, how will people remember us? You know, the Bible is full of examples. Our life is no different. Our life, as we live it, is full of examples. Examples that we are setting for our children, for our neighbors, for our family members. So we have to be aware of that. You know, God didn't say that being a Christian was going to be easy. This is one of the things that come with that title as a Christian. The example that we set. And it's very important that we set the right example. And when we do something wrong, we know we've done something wrong, we repent and we go forward. It's that simple. It's not always that simple to get over it, but that's the way it works. We truly repent. We go to God in prayer. We repent. And we put it out of our life. We go on to our next path. Now, Peter realized his actions. As we say, we saw there, he says he went and he wept bitterly. He remembered the words that Christ spoke to him at the Last Supper. When Peter told Christ, he said, I will go to prison and even die for you. Remember that statement? That came from Peter that same night. Matthew 26 here. Let's look at verse 33. Matthew 26 and verse 33 through 36. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now watch what Peter says next. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. It wasn't just Peter, but they all agreed that we're going to stick with you. We're with you. You know, as I say, I've got your back. I've got your back, Christ. Well, you know the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's what happened here. The going got tough and the tough left. They left Christ by himself. And it was not a good thing. Peter hears the crowing of the rooster and he breaks down. He realized that he headed into that hurdle head on, smashed into it, knocked it over. He didn't go over it. He knocked it, he wiped it out. He hit that hurdle so hard that he didn't know what to do. I'm sure that as he wept bitterly, he probably went to his knees and he probably asked God the Father for forgiveness. And the reason I say that is because of the next path that he went to. And we're going to see that now. The second path that Peter chose is the path of dedication. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. John chapter 20, verse 19. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now remember that as we go on. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see. And he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. Verse 21. He spoke to them again and said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven. So what we see here is Christ is giving them an assignment. He's giving them a job to do. Brethren, we have a job to do. We have to be dedicated in our job. But I told you as we started, I said, remember that word. In verse 19, they were meeting behind locked doors. Why? Because they were afraid. Afraid of what the Jewish people were could do to them. Well, Peter did not go home after his denial and give up on everything that he had followed and everything that he believed for the past 3 years. He went back to the disciples. This is where they all gathered. They gathered in the upper room, and Christ appeared to them. And this is the first time now that they've seen Christ since his brutal death. They all gathered there, and now they know. They believed before, but now they know. They've seen with their own eyes that Christ truly did raise from the dead. Their Savior was back. Well, Peter, he's here with the people, and he had grown to know these people. Again, that was a short period of time considering their life. 3 years is not a long period of time. But Peter and all the disciples, they've become a new family. So you can imagine that this person, Jesus Christ, that you've been dealing with on a day-to-day basis for 3 years, you witness his brutal murder, and you see that he's laid in a grave, you're going to be sad. Now keep in mind that they knew the prophecy. They knew what was going to happen. But they were still sad, as I'm sure we all would be. For 3 years, these people, they had given up their standard life of a tax collector, of lawyers, of fishermen, whatever they all were. They've given that up, and they've dedicated their life to service. Service with and of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Brethren, that's not at all unlike us. We still have our daily jobs and our daily routine, but we have committed to Jesus Christ and God the Father. We have dedicated our lives to this. This is our new assignment. And it's to preach the gospel. It's to preach the gospel and prepare a people. And we have to do this before the return of Christ. Well, they were starting this practice here. And these people, this group of men, as they went for the past 3 years, they were questioned by all kinds of people. They were mocked. They were ridiculed. They were made fun of. But in this time, they witnessed amazing miracles. They heard teaching about love, the true godly love. They heard teachings about the kind of joy that a person can have once they come to the full understanding of God the Father. They heard all this. They were obedient. They learned respect in a way that most people can only dream about. It was a great time while they were with Christ, and Christ was with them on a day-to-day basis. Christ was gone. They witnessed his death just a few short hours ago. The same group, they're at a loss now. Again, Christ is not there. What do they do? Where do they go? They know what Christ taught. They believed. If they didn't believe, they wouldn't have been together talking about this. They would have given up. They would have gone to their houses. They would have gone on their merry way. But they believed. Now, this next path comes into play. What's going to happen? What did Christ want them to do? Well, as we read earlier, here shortly, just a matter of minutes or hours after this time, their first meeting together, they're trying to decide what to do. Christ does come back. And they see him. And he talks to them. This, now, they know their assignment. They've got a job to do. This is a tough decision here. But this is where the path of dedication sets in. Again, they're down to two choices. Christ came back. Christ said, listen, go teach, go heal, go offer forgiveness. He's telling them to do all this. They have two choices. They do it or they don't. That's a tough situation to be in. Well, guess what? We're all in that situation. We have two choices. We either continue on this path, this godly path that we're on, we do it with a dedicated heart, or we quit. So really, it comes down to one choice. We move on. Quitting is not an option. Quitting, if we quit, Satan will pick us up. That's not an option. So we have to move on. These people, these men, they decided that they would stay dedicated to the work. The work that has been done, the work that was going to keep on being done. They knew the prophecy of what had to be done, what had to happen. They decided to keep on. Now Peter here, he has just overcome denial. He denied Christ. Wow. But he did it. Everything else in his life, after seeing this, you know, really didn't matter. Well, it did. You know, he moved on. He went to another path. Let's look here in John 20, verses 1 through 4. Again, we know Christ came back, and Christ told him what he had in store for him. But right prior to that, let's look at verses 1 through 4. Now think about Peter as we do this. Peter was first on everything. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So he came running, she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. Now pay attention to this. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Well, that's interesting. Peter was first. Before his denial, he was first. He was first to stand up and say, "Listen, you are Jesus Christ. You are my brother. You are the man that has come from God the Father to do all this, to bring everybody into repentance." He's second to the tomb. Wow, think about that. Why? This is the first time that Peter was not first to something. He is so quick in his life to be first. And at this moment, whenever he gets the news that Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. Now, if we hold up just for a minute there, think back. Peter knew that Jesus Christ said, "I will rise 3 days and three nights. I will rise." I think that if his body would have been stolen, he would have told Peter, you know, something's going to happen and my body's going to be moving. That was never mentioned. He said, "I will rise in 3 days and three nights." So Peter, he knows this in the back of his mind. Now, he's probably not thinking very clear right now, given what he just went through, experienced. So maybe he's a little cautious. He's not thinking that this is prophecy being fulfilled in my day right now. He's a little cautious. Anyway, he's not the first to the tomb. And we think about this. You know, John pointed this out. If you know, they didn't want us to understand this, if they did not want this to be an example for us, John would have just said the disciples went to the tomb and Peter saw that Christ wasn't there. John thought enough to point this out. Hey, listen, Peter wasn't first. He's always been first. He wasn't first. We are on that path of dedication. And Peter was dedicated. All the apostles were dedicated. You think about, you go to the tomb and you see he's not there. Then you go back to the upper room and then Christ does appear. He shows himself and he talks to the disciples. He gives them their assignment. We don't know how long of a gap, a time period is in between there. But all the disciples knew that Christ was going to be raised from the dead. They knew that this was happening. Now, don't you think maybe that whenever they would have went, when Mary went to the tomb and came back and told him, he's not there. She said they'd done something with the body. They, in their hearts, knew that he was risen. Well, what I mean, think about the excitement. I mean, what if we were there? Now, it's easy for us to look back because we see all the scriptures, past and forward of this point, and we know how it all plays out. But wouldn't you think that you'd go and say, wow, prophecy is being fulfilled. Christ has risen. He's back. We're moving on. Instead of just thinking, wow, let's think about this for a while. You know, he's not here. What are we doing? I think we would have been excited, really excited. But we don't see any of the disciples running in the streets, going around to people and saying, Christ is risen. Remember that man that you all beat, the man that you killed, the man that you've tortured beyond recognition? He's alive. They didn't do this. They held back a little bit. They were a little reserved. Now, they were still dedicated, but they were just a little reserved. Let's turn here in John. Let's look at verse 8. Again, the disciples, they believed. And it says it right here. Verse 8 says, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. So they know. Again, it's starting to come back to them. It's kind of like when Peter denied Christ. As the third denial passed, the rooster crowed. He remembered. They believed. This says they remembered. They know that Christ has risen. Instead of after they saw Christ, you know, saw that Christ had risen, instead of even knowing they believed, instead of getting excited and running and telling everybody, look at verse 10. Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Wow. They went back to their homes. Thinking, these guys don't get it. That's all right, though, because they were dedicated. They are Christians. We have to put ourselves in their situations. You know, if we had witnessed all this firsthand and we knew that a whole city wanted nothing more to do than kill us, what would we do? You know, without being there, we can never know what we'd have done. What we do know is we can learn from their example. That's what we have to do. These men spent the last 3 years of their life following Jesus Christ, a man that they knew very little about. They didn't know a whole lot about him. They witnessed countless miracles. They received incredible teaching, understanding that no man, no human knows. But Jesus Christ knew it, and He promoted it. He gave it to them. They went through incredible, as we said before, roller coaster of emotions. All over the scale, they were there, though. And they went home. They went home. Well, okay. We can't judge them for that. You know, we don't know what we'd have done. But we can learn, and that's what we're going to do. You know, we like to think that we would have went through the streets promoting Jesus Christ, you know, yelling and screaming His name. But again, until we're actually under that burden of the city, the people wanting to kill you, just because you're associated with this man, it changes things. We don't know what we'd have done. Whenever we think about the emotions here, and they went back to their home, you know, they just saw an empty tomb. They just witnessed one of the greatest prophecies of all time. Because this is a prophecy. Had it not happened, we all would be lost. But because this prophecy happened, we all have the opportunity for eternal life. They witnessed this. They were right in the middle of this. But it doesn't end there. Now Peter, again, who should be making up for a few hurdles that he ran into head on, the whole denying thing, it's easy to look back, but he should have grabbed the bull by the horns and rallied the troops, you know, got the disciples together and said, hey, listen, it's time. This is prophecy. It's fulfilled. Let's do this. Guess what Peter did? Peter went fishing. He did. And you know, that's all right, because people react to things in different ways. Sometimes people have to be alone to gather the thoughts. You know, and Peter was on a horrible emotional road there. What he witnessed, what he was put up against, and now he had to put it all together and think about it. And that's good, because all this together, he did not lose his dedication. The point is, we don't know what we're going to face in life. We don't know what's coming. We can never lose our dedication. We can't do it. We can't allow anything to knock us off the track. These disciples, you know, they were all scared. And it's understandable. They were all scared. Although, you know, God does tell us, fear not what man can do to you, because nobody can take your spiritual soul. Only God the Father has that power. No man has the power. But when you're faced with death, it's different. It's different. We have to be strong. We don't know what we're going to face, but we have to be strong. We can't lose our dedication. You know, these disciples, as we said before, they walked with God in the flesh for 3 years. But they were still scared. They were still scared. They were afraid of what man can do to them. That's a lesson that we have to learn. It's a tough lesson, but we have to learn it. They were afraid to boldly tell others about this man that they followed, about this God, about our God. Brethren, we are going to be asked about this belief that we have, this church that we go to, this dedication that we have. What are we going to do? Well, we have to stand up for it. We have to tell people. Tell them, this is what we believe. This is why we believe it. And this is what's coming. Don't be afraid to tell people. Finally, at the end of chapter 21 of John here, Christ asked Peter 3 times. He said, do you love me? And this is also a very important part of this whole story. He asked Peter, do you love me? There's a whole sermon on that, but that's for another time. Christ asked Peter if he had unconditional, not just love, but unconditional, agape love for him. Peter said, yes, you know I do. He answered him, he said, I have what he said was filial kind of love, or a brotherly kind of love. Well, there's a difference there. Unconditional love, agape love, is a godly love. And that's what Christ was searching for. Do you have that? He knew Peter was dedicated. He knew that Peter was on the path, the first path of denial. He knew that Peter would move on. He knew Peter was dedicated. He was trying to put the thought in Peter's mind, this is a new love. This is like the new thing that you need to get. You need to promote. Pass on to the disciples and pass on to the world. Agape love. Peter was dedicated, but not totally unconditional at this point. Goes to the question, how are we? Are we dedicated? I think we are. Are we unconditionally dedicated? Well, only we can answer that. But it's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we unconditionally dedicated to this way of life? You know, Peter, you know, he wasn't preaching in the streets, or he wasn't, you know, lying or just staying at home. He was doing the work. He was getting the job done, but there was just a little bit of hesitation. And that's all right, because this is a growth process. Nobody can come into the church, into God's life, and nobody can be, as they say, all that you can be from day one. It's a growing process. And Peter here was on a growth process. All the disciples were. You know, at this time in Peter's life, it's where it seems like a lot of Christians are today. Again, it's a lot of dedication, and it's a good thing, because you have to have dedication before we can move on. But the dedication may be somewhat limited. You know, you get a lot of people in the church, in God's church, and they're dedicated to serve in various areas. And that's great, because it takes everybody to make it happen. But there's a couple things missing. When we talk about this, you know, are we all giving our fullest, unconditional efforts to this way of life? And that doesn't just mean, again, on Saturday or on the holidays. This means every day of the week, whether we're at church, we're at home, we're at work, wherever we're at. These are questions that we have to ask, because these questions will be answered when we die. Now think about that. If we don't ask these questions and we don't make sure that the answers are true and right, these questions will be answered for us when we die. We have the opportunity at this point to go forward to make the right answers in our life up here. And we can do this. You know, instead of running down the street excited and proclaiming the gospel that Jesus Christ was alive at that moment, again, they kind of held back a little bit. But the point is, they were still dedicated. And like all of us, they were still learning and they were still growing. And that's an encouraging thing, because we know, we read about the apostles, and it's encouraging to see that they were human just like us. They had flaws just like us. And they can learn and they can grow. We can learn and we can grow. When we think about this dedication to this way of life, you know, it's a very, very important decision in our lives to make. And there's nothing better in life, or nothing more important than that decision to grow unconditionally for God the Father. And when we do that, we will have a joy in our life, in our heart, a joy that not many people in this world has. It's a joy that comes from God. And it's a joy of peace. And no matter what comes our way, we'll be able to handle it, because we have that joy from God the Father of peace in our hearts. So, brethren, we believe in Christ. We believe in God the Father. We believe this way of life. The next question is, how dedicated are we? Again, only we can answer that. If we died today on this current path that we're on, and we're all on our own paths, how would people remember us? Would they remember us for being the great volunteer, always trustworthy, always ready to help somebody else? Or would they remember us for being something of maybe a little more unpleasant? We'll leave it at that. That's a question, again, only we can answer. But we have to work in our lives to make sure that that's not the thought, or not that's not the perception that we leave behind. Well, Peter didn't stay on this path very long either. Peter came through his paths, and he grew. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. And he moved on. So let's look at the third path that Peter came down, and that's the path of Peter's decision. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, read the first 13 verses in this. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of the fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are you not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" Verse 8. Then how is it that each of us hears in his own native language? Now, verse 9 and 10, we'll skip down through that. That just talks about the different languages that were there. And they all understood. Now, verse 11. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, and they said, "They have had too much wine." Well, we know that verse 13 wasn't the case. It says in the first couple of verses that God's Spirit came in on them and they received God's Spirit and their mind was open. We can all remember our calling. You know, we remember when we started understanding the truths. And it was like it's a refreshing time. New things were coming to us and we understood it. And that's what happened here. They understood it. And we're talking, you know, thousands of people here. This one event, this changed the disciples' lives forever. This is where they moved from just not being a believer and a dedicated believer, but a true follower. And there's a difference. A true follower of Jesus Christ and His way of life. In the front of the very people they were afraid of, the very people that were out to kill them, God, through His Holy Spirit, stirred these men to action. They took action. They were dedicated, they believed, and now they made a decision to act. And that's the process. That's the third path. We need to act on what we know. They did. God's Spirit, their willingness to accept and move forward, gave them the ability to preach the gospel. It gave them the boldness that they needed to fulfill what God asked them to do. And this is what we are here to do. It's a great commission that God wants fulfilled. He's asking us to do this. He's giving us the tools and the opportunity. And each and every one of us has the responsibility to do this. They took the responsibility. They grabbed, as we said before, the bull by the horns, and they went with it this time. And this was a good thing. From this point forward, you know, this is where their lives turned from being afraid, thinking that all the people were going to kill them, to it doesn't matter, because we now realize that they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul and the spirit. And that's where we are today. We know that no matter what man does to us, it's just physical. God is eternal. And God has the ultimate say-so in everything. And as long as we don't quit, we know that in the end, we win. We win. We can't quit. And this is where we have to be. This is the path that we need to reach and get on. And this is where we need to be. This path that God desires for us to be on is total, unconditional dedication to Him and His way of life. God doesn't desire for any of us to walk down the path of denial. He doesn't want any of us to go down the path of half-hearted dedication. He wants us all to make the decision. To make the decision to accept Him and unconditionally live His way of life. You know, the decision to do this, it's not an easy one, and sometimes you can waver. And we're all familiar with Revelation 3. If you want to turn there, we'll look at that. Revelation 3, and it talks about the Laodicean church. Revelation 3, verse 16. You know, there's no gray areas. In our beliefs, we're either totally dedicated or we're not. We have to come to that point in our life. Revelation 3, verse 14 talks about the Laodicean church. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Laodicean write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now drop down to verse 16. "So then, because you are lukewarm," and that's a gray area, "because you are lukewarm and not cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." God gives us the answer. When we lose our dedication, when we lose our unconditional commitment to God, when we start sitting on the fence, eventually God will give us the answer. And He says right here, if we sit on the fence, He'll spew us out of His mouth. When we make the decision, we learn that true joy that we talked about. And when we commit to God, God commits to us. And it's a unity. It's a family unit. And the family grows stronger and stronger. When we do this, we learn how to trust God. We learn how to trust God to do things, to help us to do things that we never thought we could ever do before. He gives us that strength to go forward. When somebody comes up to us and asks us point blank, tell me why you go to church on Saturday. He gives us the strength to boldly tell them and stand behind our convictions. And that's what we have to do. We have to come to that point. He gives us the strength to learn how and what it means to love each other as true Christians, as true brothers and sisters of Christ. And that's a very important point that we have to come to in our life. We will be able to let go of any grudges that we had, any sins that plague us from our past. We'll have that ability to let go, to move forward. And it's a great thing. As we conclude here, when we think about these choices and decisions that are ahead of us, that we have to make, it's very encouraging and it's very inspiring to think that God loves us so much that He's given us this door to open and come down. I want to conclude by reading a few words that has been written, or at least they believe it's written, by a man by the name of Dr. Bob Moorhead. I never heard of him before I looked this up. But he wrote this little story, I guess, if you will. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. And that's what we have to come to, being unashamed of what we believe in. So let me read this as we conclude. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, collarless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast. My goal is the kingdom of God. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My God is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until He returns. Give until I drop. Preach until all knows. And work until He comes. And when He comes, He will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Brethren, this is exactly how we should be remembered when we die. When we leave this physical world, this is what we want people to say about us. A person that gave everything that they had for Christ without compromise or regret.
Thank you, Mr. Call.